Had a rough week?
Yes, I understand.
Josh, you must be a lot taller than I am. I knew you were taller, but not that much. Well, it's so good to see you here tonight. If you don't know, you know, Pastor had asked for prayer for Sarah's uncle on Sunday, and he actually passed away yesterday. So they are in North Carolina. I think the visitation is tonight. The funeral will be tomorrow. So definitely keep our pastor and his family and Sarah's family, keep them in your prayers as always. And we miss them when they're not here. Amen? Let's do this. Let me give you a little break from sitting. I know you've been sitting a while. Stand with me and let's read. If it's okay tonight, I'm just going to share with you for just a few minutes on what God's been dealing with me about personally. Is that okay?
Amen.
That way I'm guaranteed that somebody here needs to hear that, even if it's just me, okay? But if you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're just going to read one verse there, and we'll jump around just a little bit tonight, I think. But I want to read this verse in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. It says, God is faithful. And how many of us know that if we just stopped right there, we could talk the rest of the night about how good it is that God is faithful. Amen? It says, God is faithful. You were called by Him into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And what I really want to focus on tonight is that second part of the verse where it says, you were called by Him into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for this day, for all Your blessings. Father, we just thank You for Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy. Father, we do need You. We need You here tonight, Father. We need You to move through us, Father. Otherwise, we're just spinning our wheels and we're not accomplishing anything. But Father, we just ask You to move and have Your way tonight. Father, just have us prepare our hearts to receive what You would say to us. Help us, Father, that we would just take what we hear, apply it to our lives, Father, and that we would be changed. We would leave here closer to You with a closer, more personal relationship with You. Father, we just lift up our pastor and his family. We lift up Sarah and her family. We just pray that You would be with them. Just give them that supernatural peace and comfort that only You can give. Father, we thank You already for all that You're going to do tonight. Father, for what You're doing in our midst. We give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 1:9 says that He has called us, we were called by Him into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, and I want to focus really on that word there that says we've been called into fellowship. Now, when we say the word fellowship, probably a lot of us get a lot of different ideas. When I think of fellowship, this may sound a little crazy, but the first thing that pops into my mind is fried chicken. Anybody with me on that? Well, yeah. And my family says a lot of things make fried chicken pop into my mind, because I tell you, all you chicken farmers, I definitely support your industry. I eat it just about every meal. But a lot of us, when we think about fellowship, we think about the fellowship hall, or we think about getting together as a group, and that's definitely a part of what this word means. But I want us to dig into it a little more tonight and see how it applies to us. I was reading, and God really started dealing with me about this, about relationship and fellowship, back several weeks ago, and He's really been having me sort of study on that. And I was reading, and Max Lucado made the comment, and he said this is fellowship to him. He said that when we become a part of God's army, he says we're not only a part of His army, but we become a part of God's navy. And he said that all of us that have been born again, God places us on this ship called fellowship. And he said, let me tell you right off the bat, the ship that God places us on, this ship of fellowship, is not a cruise ship. It's not a ship where everybody just comes and gives you everything that you want and takes care of you. But he says, no, this ship of fellowship is a battleship. And he said, we're all there. We all have our duty to fulfill. We all have our certain position to fulfill. And this ship is taking us from this life over into the next life. Now, that's pretty good, isn't it? But when we get into this fellowship, because I think it's important, and you know, I think there are things in the Bible, I think all of the Bible is important. Amen? Amen. All of the Bible is true. Amen? But you know, there's some things that other denominations may see a little bit differently from the way we see them. And I think that, you know, that to me, those aren't some denominations that, in other words, they are vital truths, things that we all, I think, have to agree on if we're going to go to heaven one day. Vital truths. And then there are truths that, maybe we interpret a little differently that maybe we wouldn't consider vital. But I think this is a vital truth that we're talking about tonight. If we want to be a successful Christian, if we want to fulfill what God has planned for us here on this life, if we want to live the kind of life that He wants us to live here on earth, and it deals with this word called fellowship. Now, I'm by no means a Greek scholar, and I struggle with studying along those lines, but I did take a look at fellowship, and in the Greek, it's a word that's called koinonia. Don't ask me to spell that. But it's koinonia, and I thought it was very interesting when you look at the meaning of that word fellowship. It means this. It means a partnership. It means communion, fellowship, sharing, giving. It means being with Him. And God says, and the word says here that God has called us into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We could say He's called us into a partnership with Jesus Christ. He's called us to have communion with Jesus Christ. He's called us to share and to give with Jesus Christ. He's called us to be with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but when I stop and think about that, that's pretty exciting news. That I'm in partnership with Jesus Christ. That He's my partner. He's alongside me. Because I tell you, the older I get, the more I realize that I can't do things out of my own ability. I can't do things out of my own talent, out of my own skills. When I was some of these young folks' age, man, I thought I was 6 foot tall and bulletproof. I could do anything. But as I get older, I'm finding out that anything of value, I can't do it without Jesus Christ. So it says that we've been called into a fellowship, into a partnership with Him. Now, here's what I want us to look at tonight, just real quick, just a few things. Number one is that our first calling is to be with Jesus. And if you got, hold your place right there at 1 Corinthians, but if you want to turn over to Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, this is when Jesus was calling the 12 apostles. And listen to what He says. It says in verse 13, it says, "Then He went up the mountain and summoned those He wanted, and they came to Him. He also appointed 12. He also named them apostles." And listen to this. He called them to do what? It says He called them to be with Him, to send them out to preach and to have authority and to drive out demons. But what did He do first? He said, "My first call for you, the first thing for you to do is to come be with Me." Can we see that? I think sometimes that maybe even in our church today that we get things backwards. That we say, well, hey, if I'll just work hard enough, if we'll get enough programs in the church, if we will have a good enough music program, if we'll have good enough kids programs, if we will have a fancy enough building, a beautiful building, if we'll do all these things, then we'll see God move. And sometimes we leave out the most important, our first calling, where He says, first thing for you to do is just be with Me. Be with Jesus. Have fellowship with Him. Have partnership with Him. See, He says, you do that, and then you can go out and preach. You come be with Me, then you can go cast out demons. But the first thing is, I'm calling you to come be with Me. And in 1 Corinthians, He's saying that God, who is faithful, we're called by Him into fellowship with His Son. He's saying the same thing to us, Tim. He's saying, come be with Jesus. Come be with Jesus. Now, here's the thing. It says God is faithful and we were called by Him. Here's number two. First thing is that our first calling is to be with Him. The second thing, and this is the one that for me is the hardest for me to comprehend, and that is that He wants to have fellowship with me, Joey. God Almighty wants to be with me. I don't know about you, but that just That just blows my little simple mind. That the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who knows everything, and that's what really gets me, is he's the God that knows me and all my weaknesses and all my mistakes and everything that I do wrong. When you would think he would look at me and say, I'm just tired of fooling with you. But instead he says, no, I want to be with you. Can we comprehend that? How powerful that is? Wouldn't it be great that tomorrow morning when that alarm clock goes off at 5 o'clock or 5:30 or 6 o'clock or whatever time it goes off, wouldn't it be great if our first thought when we woke up in the morning was, God wants to be with me today. God wants to spend time with me today. God wants to have fellowship. God wants to go with me everywhere that I go today. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't our day start out so much better if that was the first thought that came into our mind? We can get there. He's called us into fellowship. Why does he want to be with me? Is the obvious question. With all my faults, with all my failures, why does he want to be with me? I think the only reason can be is because he loves me. Because he loves you. It wasn't too many years ago that boys started showing up at our house. And one's been hanging around for a while now. I won't call any names, but boys have come and boys have gone. But one thing that I told my daughter, and I tell my son to this day, is if somebody comes and says, I love you, but yet they don't really want to spend any time with you. They just want to come when it's convenient, or they just want to come when it's an occasion. They don't really love you. Because the people that we love, what do we want to do? We want to be with them, don't we? We want to spend time with them. And see, that's the God that we are, that God that not only loves us, but a God that is love. And he loves us so much that he says, even though you failed me, all these times, I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. So our first calling is to be with him. Second thing is he wants to have fellowship with us. Now, here's the thing that I really want us to focus on. Here's the thing that God's really been dealing with me about, is that fellowship is more than just relationship. Okay? Follow me now, because in no way am I belittling how great it is to have our relationship with Jesus Christ, our relationship with God. Because how many of us remember that day when we were lost and we were away from God and we were separated from God? Y'all remember that time? Yep, I can remember that time. And I am so thankful. And again, don't get me wrong, I am so grateful for that day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I was able then to call God my Father. Because, see, Satan was my father before that. But on that day, I got a relationship. But here's the thing. It's so great that we have that relationship. But here's the thing. Just like in our natural life and in our physical life here on the earth, you know, it's possible for us to have a birth certificate that says, I am John Doe's son. And we may never know John Doe. Do you realize that happens? In my family, I've got nieces and I've got nephews that, you know, when it comes Christmas time and it's time to buy them a gift for Christmas, you know, it's really hard to do. You know why? Because the only time I ever see them is at Christmas. So I don't know if they like sports. I don't know if they like hunting. I don't know if they like football. I don't know if they like baseball. I don't know. Even though there's a relationship there, we're part of the family, and we're blood, same blood flows through our veins, there's no fellowship. I'm never around them. I don't know what they're like. But do you see that same thing that happens in the physical, that we understand that same thing can happen in our spiritual relationship? Can you follow that? See, we can get born again, and we can cross over that line and be in God's family. And again, I'm so thankful for that. And one day we're going to go to heaven. We're going to be with him throughout eternity. But some of us get over here and we get in the family and we think, all right, well I've done all I need to do. I'm in the family now. And again, that's so important. Don't get me wrong. But if we just get into the family, but we never really learn about Jesus, we never spend any time with Jesus, what happens to us? I tell you what, we don't know his voice when he speaks to us. See, I love being in a church where, I can hear my pastor's voice and I recognize it. And I love it when, in my southern drawl, I know it's pretty easy to understand, but on those occasions where I need to call the pastor, I like the fact that I can call him and he recognizes my voice and he knows who I am. See, and nothing against these mega churches, but you know, there's churches out there where that doesn't happen. You never talk to the pastor. But see, I want my relationship to be with Jesus. I want my relationship to be with God to where, when he speaks and when he says, John, this is what you need to do concerning your job. This is what you need to do concerning this relationship. This is what you need to do concerning your finances. When he speaks to me, I want to have been around him enough that I know his voice. Do you understand that? Let me tell you, for years, I had a relationship with God, but I had no fellowship with him. I grew up, and I am so thankful for my parents. I tell people the only drug problem I ever had as a kid was my parents drugged me to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every night of revival, there was no question. You better stop your playing, you better stop your working, you better be home, you better be ready to go when church time comes. And I'm thankful for that. And I got saved as a young man, and it was true salvation. I gave my life to Christ. Well, I say that, I got born again. But when I got born again, there was something inside of me that I said, man, you need to read the Bible. And I'd try. And there was something inside of me that said, you need to pray, and I would try. But I never was successful at doing that, Tim. If I had a dollar for every time I started to read the Bible and got a few chapters in and quit, I'd have a lot more money today. But you know why that was? Because I was trying to do it out of my own efforts. And then one day, something happened. This was on after we had gotten married. And I married Sandy. She asked me to marry her. No, that's not the way that worked. But I asked her, and she said yes. And we got married, and we were both Christians. And we started having our family devotional time. And we'd read the Bible, and she'd read, and I'd read, and I'd doze off asleep and wouldn't get very far. We'd have prayer time, and I'd pray, and I'd prayed about everybody I could think about in 5 minutes at the most. Sandy had a real prayer life where she was just, it was just like talking to a good friend when she prayed. And me, I'm just going through the, well, bless us four and no more and do all this. And I got hungry. I said, I need that fellowship. I need that type of relationship with God. And so there were some things that I really needed God to do in my life. And I'd been asking him to do them, and I'd been going to him, and I said, God, please do this for me. And I tried all these things, and guess what? It never happened. And finally, one day I'm there at home, and something just came over me and said, well, you've been seeking the wrong thing. You've been seeking all these things you want God to do for you. Why don't you just try to seek him? And so here's what I found. See, when you start seeking him and you get to the point where you realize you can have fellowship with him and spend time with him and he wants to spend time with you, most of those answers that you're seeking, they're there. Can you see that? Because for years, all I could say was I was God's son, but I couldn't hear his voice, Joey. I think he was talking the whole time, but I was so busy and so cluttered, I couldn't hear. And see, sometimes I think we still get to that point. Sometimes I still get to that point. I find myself falling back. And here's the thing. Our lives are so busy today. We've got so many distractions. And can I say that this is one of the main ones? I heard a preacher say recently, he said, for these to be called smartphones, they sure do produce a lot of dumb people. But you know what? I find myself even today when I'm trying to have some fellowship with him, I hear this little thing buzz. And so now, you know, I get text messages, all my emails for work, all my personal emails, all these different things come through, and it's just like, just like it pulls you to it, and you just can't resist it. Wouldn't it be great if we just got to the point and we said, hey, I'm putting that cell phone aside, I'm putting the TV aside, I'm putting the Braves aside, maybe even have to put the Georgia Bulldogs aside for just a little bit, just so that I can make sure that I have that time of fellowship with him. Because he's calling us. He's saying, I want to spend time with you. And I know I've been guilty of saying, well, God, yeah, you may want to spend time with me, but I just don't have time for you today. You know, I'm just too busy. I don't have time. When he's called us into fellowship. And see, what happens is when we don't have that fellowship with him, when we can't recognize his voice, then guess what? All those things that he's promised us, joy, peace, understanding, knowing his plan. See, one of the biggest questions that people always have, well, I just don't know what God would have me do with my life. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You know, for most of us, you know why we don't know the answer to that? Because we can't get quiet with him and listen to what he's telling us. We don't spend enough time with him to hear what he has to say to us. There's a story over in Revelation chapter 3. You remember when it talks about the different churches in Revelation? You remember there's one church there in about chapter 3 where he talks about the church at Laodicea. And he says this. He says, this church is interesting. He said, you're not hot and you're not cold. You're just lukewarm. You're just somewhere in the middle. And he makes an interesting statement about them. What is it he says about that church? He says, you really make me sick. I'd just like to vomit you out of my mouth. I'd like to spew you out of my mouth. But here's what I think is very interesting about that. He says they're not hot or they're not cold. He says they're lukewarm. But he doesn't say, well, what you need is you just need to get saved. He doesn't say that. So obviously, they must be saved. What he says, though, is he says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And you won't let me come in. And see, as much as it breaks my heart to say it, see, that's part of what God's been showing me. Is that, yeah, you're saved, but you really don't make time for me. I'm knocking, but you just turn your head like you don't even hear. I'm knocking, but you don't have time for me to come in. And see, I think that, you know, sometimes we just get to that point and we say, well, I'm going to go to heaven one day, but we won't listen to him knock and we won't let him come in and we won't have fellowship with him. So what's the answer? Well, I think the answer is pretty simple. He says, I'm standing at the door knocking. But the good news is, here's what he says. He doesn't stop right there. He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, what does he say he will do? He says, I'll come in. Not only will I come in, but I'll have dinner with him. There's that fried chicken again. I'll sit down and I'll eat with you, and he with me. And see, that's that love of God again. Even though we've got the relationship, but we haven't had the fellowship, he still loves us to the point where I believe he's still knocking. And he's saying, I want to come in. Now, I challenge you, like I've been challenged, to find time to be with him. You say, well, how do we do that? We read this, we read his word, we spend time in prayer, One of the biggest things for me is to spend time in prayer and just be quiet. You know what I'm saying? Instead of going to him and saying, well, here's my wish list, God. Let me read through all these things I want you to do for me. Just say, God, I just thank you for how good you are. I thank you for all your blessings on me. And now I'm just going to be quiet, and I'm just going to ask you to, through your Holy Spirit, just to help guide me and lead me that I would be the Christian you'd have me to be. And see, the great thing is, one of the great things is, out of many, is that when we get in that place and when we're with him, all these problems, all these things that might have made this week so tough for us, might have made it so challenging, all these problems that we deal with, maybe with relationships, maybe with our finances, maybe with the situation at work, maybe with the political things that are going on in the world, maybe with the terrorist attacks, all these things that can just come on us and seem so big and seem so powerful and so overwhelming. Guess what happens when we get in his presence? All of a sudden, they get small and he gets big. The closer we get to him, the bigger he gets. Amen? Amen. I appreciate you so much. I'm going to ask us to do this. Wouldn't it be great Sunday if all this congregation came in and when all these pews are full, wouldn't it be great that if when we came in, all of us had been with Jesus between now and then, that we had spent time with him? Because see, here's my desire for church. See, I spent a lot of time in church over my life. And here's my desire. And I know we come together and we practice his music, and these musicians think, man, John just wants us to be perfect. He wants to play everything. And I do. I don't want us to play with excellence. But here's my real desire. It's when people come into Liberty that they don't leave and say, man, that band was rocking. That band, man, they are tight. They are good. They're talented musicians. It's not that they come into Liberty and they leave and say, man, that choir and you guys in the choir, man, you are awesome. It sounds great. But it's not that they leave here saying, man, that choir was fantastic. It's not even that they leave here saying, man, they've got the best pastor in Franklin County, which I believe we've got the best pastor in the whole state, the whole country. But it's not any of that. My desire is that when that crowd comes in on Sunday, that they leave here and they say, man, I felt God in that place. God was there. I had, and they won't even know it's fellowship with God, but they will leave here having had fellowship with God, an encounter with God. Do we believe that can happen? I believe it's happening. I believe God's stirring us. I believe God's preparing us, and I believe we're going to see him do great things. But I'm going to ask you to do this tonight. If you're like me and you want more fellowship with him, if you want to be closer to him, if you want to hear his voice more clear, I'm just going to ask us to do this. If you will, just come down and just pray and just ask him. You know, James says that we have not because we ask not. And you may be like me. You may be in a place where you don't have that peace. You don't have that understanding that you're struggling with entering in. And it can be hard. You know, you think, well, it's easy. I can enter into his presence. But no, you try to get quiet, and what happens? All these thoughts run through your mind. But just ask him. And I'm going to ask you tonight to take that first step. Just come down and just ask him. Say, God, I just want to be in your presence. I want to have fellowship with you. I'm so thankful that you want to have fellowship with me. Because, see, we think, well, it's hard because he doesn't want to be with us, and he's hiding from us. He's making it hard. But no, he's saying, come on. I'm knocking. I want to have fellowship. So if you will, come down and just ask him in your own way just to help you to enter into his presence, to be with him. Amen.